ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್. ಜಯ ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್, ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್, ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್, ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್. ಜಯ ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್, ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್, ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್, ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್. ಶುಭಾಲ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್. ಜಯ ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್, ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್, ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್, ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್. ಜಯ ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್, ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್, ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್, ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದಲಾಲ್. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ, ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ, ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ, ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ, ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ, ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ, ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ, ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. Chaya Girira Jai Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan. And Jai Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Indaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Indaya Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam. Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol Shri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare So Hare Krishna I would like to welcome all of you who have come from near and far to attend this seminar called The Qualities of Sri Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami has provided us with a list of 64 qualities, but he has also mentioned that it is not possible to really count all the qualities of Lord Krishna. Even Krishna himself is not able to understand his wonderful, the amount of his qualities, because they always increase during his loving pastimes. Lord Brahma, he talks a little bit about the qualities of Lord Krishna, and it is very interesting to hear the commentaries of our Goswamis and Acharyas on this glorification of Lord Brahma. He says, Gunat manastepi gunan vimatum hitavatyanasya kaishiresya Kalena yeva vimita sukalper bhupang shavake mihika dyubasa. In time, learned philosophers or scientists might be able to count all the atoms of the earth, the particles of snow, or perhaps even the shining molecules radiating from the sun, the stars and other luminaries. But among these learned men who could possibly count the unlimited transcendental qualities possessed by you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have descended onto the surface of the earth for the benefit of all living entities. Lord Sri Krishna, says Sanatana Goswami, possesses all the divine godly qualities. And anyone who comes in contact with Lord Krishna is becoming inspired to develop also divine qualities. In fact, Krishna bestows 50 of his 64 qualities on the living entity who hears about Lord Krishna and increases these qualities so that it's easy for the living entity to go back home, back to Godhead. Now, why does Krishna have so many innumerable qualities? If this question is asked in the transcendental dimension, the answer is because he is unlimitedly beautiful and has unlimited pastimes. And for pastime's sake, he always increases his qualities. If this question, why does Krishna have such unlimited qualities, is asked from the perspective of us, there is another reason. Because we have so many qualities ourselves, we will become attracted to Lord Krishna if we see in him some of the qualities. For instance, a scholar is inspired when he hears that Krishna sees through the eyes of Shastra. A strong man is inspired to hear that Krishna is Balyan, the most strongest, who lifted the Govardhan hill for 7 days without previous practice of weightlifting. Prabhupada makes this point. A person who is generous and likes to give in charity becomes totally inspired to hear how Lord Krishna every day used to give 402 million cows in charities. Every day, 402 million cows. So all the living entities, according to their own specific situation, become inspired by certain qualities of Lord Krishna. In Germany, when we were very immature and young, we divided all the bhaktas into two categories. One was the Nishinga bhaktas, these were the Sangatan men, and the others were the gentle Govinda bhaktas, these were the translators, so on. Because we could... I was in the Govinda bhakta category. At that time, the German nature was a little strong and maybe exuberant, and sometimes it would manifest in wild dancing and wild activities. So they felt inspired by Lord Nrisimhadev. Wow, he is our God. And the others, who thought themselves to be literally interested and music lovers, they were the Govinda bhaktas. So Krishna does this on purpose. He exhibits different pastimes, different qualities, to make sure that every conditioned soul is attracted, and no one can escape his quality of being Krishna, all attractive. In this verse, we see a progression. It is said, even if someone might count the molecules in earth, snow, and light, he will not be able to count Krishna's qualities. Earth is quite gross in the sense that you can easily see it and touch it. I mean, the earth of Vrindavan is not gross. It is very, it is Chintamani, but normal earth. Snow is a little bit more subtle, more windy and airy. And light is progressively more subtle. Thus it is understood that it is virtually impossible to go, as you go deeper into Krishna and into the more subtle aspects of Lord Krishna, it becomes increasingly difficult to keep count with Krishna's wonderful qualities. There are qualities in terms of Krishna's activities. there are qualities in terms of Krishna's heart or words, I'm sorry, there are qualities in terms of Krishna's body, in terms of Krishna's words, and there are qualities in terms of Krishna's thinking, his heart. And these are the most difficult to understand. And in my little introduction to the qualities of Krishna, I would like to venture, being a little daring in nature, into these qualities of Krishna's heart. I would like to dwell more time on these types of qualities of Krishna. Now, in this verse of Lord Brahma, it is described that no one, just as no one can count the molecules in earth, snow, and light, no one can count the qualities of Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur informs us that there is someone who has counted all the molecules of earth, snow, and light. But even this personality, although he has been trying to count Krishna's quality, failed on this task. The one who counted the qualities of earth, or the molecules in earth, snow, and light, is Ananta Shesha. But even Ananta Shesha, who is so intelligent that he can grasp the seemingly unlimited in his hand, he cannot count Krishna's glories, although since time immemorial he's in a serious and almost desperate attempt, involved in a serious attempt to do so. They are so unlimited that even the greatest counter has to show his defeat. Now, the most astonishing qualities which Lord Krishna exhibits are exhibited at a very specific time and place of his appearance. It's in Vrindavan Dham, where he steals butter from the cowherd ladies, dances with his gopi girlfriends, and plays with his cowherd boyfriends. On coming here, His Holiness Dhanuddha Maharaj has reminded me of how Krishna had expanded himself into as many cowherd boys as there were present during his time. Now, it is described that the count of Krishna's cowherd boys was virtually uncountable. There were oceans of cowherd friends. You must know that this is not a limited space, Vrindavan Dham. It is an unlimited space. So there were unlimited cowherd boys. And Lord, when the good number was stolen by Lord Brahma, Krishna easily expanded himself in all the cowherd boys. This is very unusual quality of Lord Krishna. He took on all the qualities of all these boys. He took on the exact smile of each boy, the wrinkles, the position of the nose, which is always different from person to person, the fingerprints, which is very, this is your unique passport, which cannot be copied, your fingerprint. He took on all these qualities. And it said, if pure devotees discuss the qualities of Lord Krishna, they are filled with life and they are filled with soul. Because these qualities, if we hear them patiently, something of them will color into our hearts. So I was thinking, when I was preparing for this seminar, should I go quality 1, quality 2, quality 3, quality and so on. And I decided to not go in this way because I would not arrive at the four most wonderful qualities of Lord Krishna, which are 61 to 64. I have just started to go, I have decided to go and take you to, on a journey through some qualities which I thought were very specifically describing either Krishna's words or Krishna's wonderful body or Krishna's wonderful heart. And as I said in the beginning, I will have put more emphasis on Krishna's thinking, Krishna's heart. I thought I would go just through a little journey with you, and then in later times I would like to publish a book on this so that you can read more about Krishna's qualities and become more inspired. So we will start today with quality number 7. Vividad Bhuta Bhasha Vit. He is a wonderful linguist. Rupa Goswami describes what it means to know many languages, to be a wonderful linguist. I thought in the beginning, maybe I'm also a wonderful linguist because I know English a little bit. I know German much better. Ja, också tala svenska. I also speak Swedish if I want. I can speak a little Italian, bellissimo. And Serbian also a little bit. And I could speak the language of the ruffians. that is also known to me. But Rupa Goswami quickly comes and tells us what a wonderful linguist should know. He who is skilled in Sanskrit and then in the vernacular languages of various countries is said to be conversant in many wonderful languages. You need to know Sanskrit, really. During Krishna's appearance, there was an old lady who had seen Lord Krishna conversing with the parrots, with the bulls and cows, and she had seen how Krishna received some demigods and talked with them in Sanskrit, and she had seen many things which Krishna did in language, and in great surprise she stated, "Shori or Krishna speaks Shori Seni to the women of Braj. He speaks the divine language Sanskrit to Indra and the crude form of language even to the cows and bird. How did he become so skilled in all these languages? I cannot understand. How did he learn all this so perfectly?" A very good example of Krishna speaking in Sanskrit is his Gita. Krishna has spoken in the Gita such deep knowledge that even the world today is very impressed by the Gita. And I do not know if you know, but even the non-devotees have put the Gita into the category of world literature. World literature is also the Odyssey by Homer, for instance, or some works of Mr. Joyce. I believe it's called Ulysses. It's world literature. It's a high-class literature in the eyes of the world. So his Gita is very, very is read all over the world. Prabhupada said, I believe it's translated in something like 730 editions of the Gita. Different editions are available. You can, if you go to Udupi, you see that Madhvacharya has the Madhvacharya Math, the Udipi Math, has made a Gita temple where all the different Gitas of the in the world's editions are available. Also, many ISKCON Bhagavad Gitas are there. We placed a German Gita into this library, and so on. Krishna's speaking can sometimes be very intense. Today, Burijan Prabhu reminded us of Lord Varaha. Do you know when Varaha spoke? It was very intense. It said, when the Lord assumed the form of Varaha, he roared like a great mountain with his uncommon voice, which echoed all over the universe. Krishna is not a light speaker, but a heavy speaker. Wow! And the sadhus were jumping up in ecstasy on the planet, greeting Lord with the Lord Varaha with choice Vedic hymns. Lord Krishna sometimes speaks in a way which is very easy to follow. For instance, when he says, he who protects Dharma is protected by Dharma. Who knows the Sanskrit of this famous verse, Adi Purusha? Dharmo rakshati rakshitaha. It's something you can live your life by. If you protect Dharma in your life, that is, if you are truthful, if you are compassionate to others, this is what a Dharmic person must learn. Dharma will come and run to your aid and protect you. This is something very, where Krishna speaks something very profound in very simple words. But he also can speak very, very, very high, on very high levels of understandings which are difficult to understand. Here's an example from the third canto of Bhagavatam. He spoke to the four Kumaras, most properly the most intelligent beings in this universe. The Lord's excellent speech was difficult to comprehend because of its momentous import. It had such deep meanings and its most profound significance. The sages heard it with wide open ears and pondered it as well. But although hearing, they could not understand what he intended to do. Krishna is on a very, very, very high level, so that even the of speech, so that even the most intelligent jnanis are failing to really follow. I can't follow any longer, they have to say. One devotee told me that one of Krishna's pure devotees, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, used to also speak in a very difficult language. There is somewhere, and maybe the nectar hunters amongst you will now put their ears up, there's somewhere a gramophone record of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur speaking. There was a recording, and it said it's so difficult even for a scholar to follow. So Krishna is a supreme intelligent speaker. That doesn't keep him from talking also to the plants. Krishna can talk to the plants of Vrindavan, and he does so. He talks often to the plants of Vrindavan. There is in Govinda Lilamrita a very nice description how Krishna walks through his beloved playground, the forest of Vrindavan, and how his attention becomes focused on different plants, forest dwellers. And he is so happy to see how all these plants love him so much and bent down low to offer their fruits to Lord Krishna, that Krishna happily says, "O dear forest creepers, are you also happy? O my friends, the trees, is everything auspicious for you?" It must be difficult to speak in the tree language. Maybe Lord Krishna says, "Shh, shh, 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 shh," because this is maybe the language of the tree. I just come from a retreat at the Mediterranean Ocean, and there the trees speak differently. They go like, it's when the wind comes and they rub against each other, and when you live there, you feel, oh no, a ghost is coming. But it's only the trees speaking, and you feel inspired to also go, this is the language of the Mediterranean trees, but I don't think such language would be the Vrindavan trees. So Krishna asked them a very relevant question. Is everything auspicious for you? This means, do great devotees sit in your shade, my dear trees? What is your report? Please say. And then he turns to the insects. The mosquitoes usually go, we only know the mosquito language. Western blood. Sweet blood. But these are different insects. They're like Indragopas, or sometimes they color the ground of Vrindavan. There are insects which make a colorful carpet on Vrindavan's ground. Krishna asked them a very relevant question, because insects are always afraid of attackers. So he asked them, "Oh dear insects, is everything peaceful for you? How are you doing, birds? Oh bees, you appear healthy. Oh all moving and non-moving creatures, are you all joyful?" This is what Krishna says. The way Krishna speaks to his cows, he has two ways of addressing the cows. Maybe, actually, this is my speculation, don't note it down. He has at least more than two ways of addressing the cows. One is, he calls them by names. He may say, Davali, Chandani, Rangini, Hansi, Chamari. These are cow names. He has also a bull, which he calls Padmaganda, O lotus-smelling one. These bulls move like satisfied sannyasis around in Vrindavan. He has also one dog, Vyagraha. He also knows how to speak with a dog very nice. Shubhal is looking at me. Can this be true, a dog? Yes. Radha Krishna Ganapesha Deepika. It is there. So, but to his cows he has two languages. He calls them and communicates, but he also plays his flute. And by his flute song, he calls the cows individually and differently. And he does it through the flute. This is Krishna's way of calling his cows. One night, Krishna wanted to make come to Srimati Radharani and meet her. And there he used his skill to speak like a cuckoo. He climbed over the wall of the big house of Yatila and hid behind a tree and began to call in the voice of the cuckoo, 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 for Srimati Radharani, who wanted to come. But this Yatila, this very, very disturbing being, understood that the cuckoo sound had an additional sweetness to it. And therefore, she felt highly suspicious. She went out of the kitchen to look in the court. Where is this cuckoo? So Krishna had to stay in the tree and because he was careful, he did not cuckoo again. So Yatila went again in the house, and again Krishna went cuckoo, cuckoo. Radharani knew it is my Krishna, but Yatila again came out. Shoop! Who's here? And Krishna had to hide himself for the whole night into the tree without being able to meet Radharani. This tells us that Krishna's language is even sweeter than the original species in which language he speaks. This is some secret which we have learned from this pastime. He adds an additional sweetness because otherwise Yatila would have been deceived very easily. It is said, I live at the house of Nitai Chand, who speaks Bengali, which is very sugar-like sweet. When he speaks any other language, for instance Gujarati, he also speaks the language a little bit sweeter than it is originally spoken. So Lord Krishna has this sweetening everything in a huge proportion. Now, as we hear about Krishna's wonderful linguist quality, there is one quality in Krishna's language treasury house which I find especially important for my spiritual understanding. Krishna can also speak the language which the conditioned soul understands. Krishna speak in your language to you. That doesn't necessarily only mean that you can speak German, African, or American slang to you. Krishna can speak in a way you can understand him. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam vajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhyogam tam yenamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. This is a very important reading of this quality of Krishna, that he is a wonderful linguist. He can speak to us. He can use a language which we also understand. I do not know how you are, but very often Krishna speaks the language of the club. Pang! You repeatedly do a mistake. Pang, and Krishna arranges things in your life that you know, oh, I did something wrong here. I'm sorry, I think I have to correct my ways. This is one way Krishna speaks to us here, by arranging our life circumstances as the overseer of this material energy. Maya Dyakshena Prakriti. The Prakriti moves according to Krishna's supervision. But he can also speak to you by giving you realizations in your heart. And this is a very, very wonderful language of Lord Krishna, in which he, from the heart, makes it very clear for your understanding what are your next maneuvers. I really feel it is important for us to listen to the Lord in the heart, who gives, speaks to us by realizations and by certain understandings which he gives us. Let us not ignore it. I want to use now one example by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which will make you smile. It's an example where it becomes clear how on a very high level of Krishna consciousness, Krishna will speak to his devotee in the heart. Don't be shocked. It will be narrated to you in a dramatic way. Just capture your seat so that you are not blown away. Oh, that thief Krishna, the son of Yashoda, has entered the house to steal the fresh butter. Grab him! Keep him away! Hearing these menacing words spoken by the elderly gopi Jarati, Krishna immediately prepares to leave the house. The devotee to whom this transcendental pastime is revealed laughs in ecstasy. You know, Krishna has just stolen butter, and this Jarati comes and catches him by surprise. One says in flagranti. In flagranti means while in the wrong act. And Krishna is very shy and drops everything and starts to run away. So the devotee to whom this transcendental pastime is revealed in the heart laughs in ecstasy. But suddenly he can no longer see Krishna. He then cries in great lamentation, "Oh, I achieved the greatest fortune in the world, and now it has suddenly slipped from my hands." And then the devotee cries more loud, "Oh my Lord, where are you? Give me your answer." So now the Lord, the most wonderful linguist, speaks. "My dear devotee, I heard your loud complaint, and so I have again come before you." Upon seeing Lord Krishna again, the devotee begins to sing, "Today my life has become perfect." Thus overwhelmed with transcendental bliss, he begins to dance like a madman. Hare Krishna. This is an example how Krishna speaks to a devotee on a very high level of Krishna consciousness. Krishna can also speak to us. It is said a devotee who wishes to hear Lord Krishna in his life should become expert in one little quality which can be trained. You can train this quality. It is called in Sanskrit Shastra Shakshu, to see through the eyes of scripture. To see means also to understand. If you read regularly, and then as you what you have read, you should apply this to understand your world around you, and you will see how all of a sudden the scripture comes to life, and you feel like, wow, it's really like this, it's really like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Wonderful. And at that time, when the scripture begins to come alive for you, since you apply the teachings of the scripture, you will also begin to dance in ecstasy. It is said by Jiva Goswami that the scriptures are Krishna's way to train our intelligence so that it moves in the proper way. Just like a snake charmer will sing a beautiful, fascinating tune. I have learned the tune by heart. Should I sing the snake charming tune? Now it says, and so on. It's a little boring for a music lover in the human form of life. So, but the snake when it hears this enchanting melody, which is quite mesmerizing, it begins to move. In the same way, the intelligence of a devotee should begin to move by the words from Shastra. This is how Krishna speaks to us. Many devotees have made this experience that when they are in a problematic situation of their life, they read in transcendental Shastra. And as they read in the transcendental Shastra, at that time, answers are given to them. And I'm very, very glad that our Bhurijan Prabhu is always guiding us in our seminars, because he really has made this a service in his life to read Prabhupada's books, to extract things which are instructions for us. And if you learn this little art to hear what Krishna has to tell to you, then you will, from the Shastras, you will become wonderful, inspired. Hare Krishna. This was the quality of Lord Krishna as the wonderful linguist. I would like to summarize what we have heard. First of all, Krishna speaks different languages, including Sanskrit and Brajabhas, but also the languages of different tribes, like the Englishmen or whatever tribes are there, vernacular language. And I wanted to speak a little on, give examples of Krishna's speech. On different levels, and I wanted to end that Krishna speaks also in a language which is understandable to us, either by speaking in the heart as the Lord who reveals transcendental knowledge and transcendental understandings, or by speaking through the Shastras through us. Now we come to the 17th quality. Krishna is Kritagya. Kritagya means grateful. Srila Rupa Goswami describes gratefulness like this: he who is mindful of services rendered is grateful. And Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains what it means to be mindful of services rendered by others. He says, any person who is conscious of his friend's beneficent activities and never forgets his service is called grateful. Rupa Goswami gives an example from the Mahabharata. There was a situation where Draupadi was in great danger of being uncovered by the rascals, and she cried for Krishna's help during that time. And Krishna, he later says, remembering how Draupadi turned to him and called out his name, Lord Krishna remembers this, and with great gratitude to his dear devotee, he says these words: when I was away from Draupadi, she cried with the words, "Hey Govinda!" Oh, she said it much louder. I will say it for you, and then you can say it after me. Hey Govinda! This call for me has put me in her debt. And that indebtedness is gradually increasing in my heart. And Prabhupada, he said very nice, this statement by Krishna gives evidence of how one can please the Supreme Lord simply by addressing him. Hey Krishna!
Hey Krishna!
Hey Govinda! Another example is when Lord Krishna entered the cave of Jambavan to bring back the Syamantaka jewel which Jambavan had stolen by killing the son of Satrajit. He had just killed him and taken the jewel. And Krishna, as the beloved prince of Dwaraka, was suspected of having killed Satrajit and keeping the Syamantaka jewel somewhere. So Lord Krishna went to Jambavan and fought with him for 24 days. Jambavan, the best of the beers, attacked the Lord's delicate body, which is so delicate, we hear, that if a leaf falls on the body of the Lord, the skin will slightly become discolored, noting the leaf. So, although Jambavan actually was quite offensive, offenses are done in mind, then it goes heavier in words, and then in actions. Actions means you attack the other person. That's really the height of offense. Krishna remembered how Jambavan, millions of years ago, had helped him in a very important mission to bring back his wife Sita. At that time, Krishna was present at this earth as Lord Ramachandra. And Jambavan had helped in the espionage to find where is Mother Sita. And had also fought with the demon army, which was equipped with modern warfare instruments. And he had risked his life and had given good counsel and so on. So although Jambavan now had done a serious mistake fighting with him and attacking him, Krishna remembered, way back, he was serving me. This is how grateful Krishna was. And Krishna then was so respectful to Jambavan that he married Jambavati, the daughter of Jambavan. The Damodar month has just passed. Do you know one reason why Krishna fed butter to the celebrated monkeys of Vrindavan? Adi Purusha. Yes, he remembered. These monkeys, they are the same monkeys who served me when I came as Ramachandra. And sometimes they had to fast, as described in Ramayana. Now they should get butter. And in this way, he was mindful of the service of the monkeys. I think this is extremely significant, because it makes the heart very happy if we understand how grateful Lord Krishna is for every little service which is rendered by his devotees. Like Prabhupada says, any person who is conscious of his friend's beneficent activities, he has done something beneficial for me, and never forgets his service, such a person is called grateful. And Prabhupada immediately brings this quality of Krishna, being grateful, into direct connection with our daily practice of chanting. He says how Krishna never forgets a person who has chanted his glories. This is devotional service to chant. Huh? When we chant, we serve Lord Krishna by the Shravanam and Kirtanam. Prabhupada says, the Mahamantra is simply an address to the Lord and His energy. So to anyone who is constantly engaged in addressing the Lord and His energy, we can imagine how much the Supreme Lord is obliged. It is impossible for the Lord to ever forget such a devotee. It is clearly stated in this verse. The verse is where Krishna says, this call of Draupadi for me has put me in her debt. Huh? It is clearly stated in this verse that anyone who addresses the Lord immediately attracts the attention of the Lord, who always remains obliged to him. When you chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, sometimes it's almost a joke because we are so highly inattentive while we chant. But when we sincerely try to just keep on chanting, Krishna is grateful. This person has glorified me. My dear devotees, I think we should take every morning a shower in the lake of gratefulness. Queen Kunti once described that you can measure a person's greatness in different ways. For instance, you can measure how rich is this person, or how nice can he sing, or how fast can he make the Govardhan Parikrama. There are different measurements. But Queen Kunti has one measurement in mind. She says, a person's greatness can be measured by the degree of his gratefulness. Krishna has given us so many things in our lives, and it behooves us to always remember in a deep state of gratefulness, oh Krishna, he has given such wonderful things to me. I would like to tell you the story of the talented crow. Once there was a virtuous Vaishya merchant who lived at the bank of an ocean, and he was blessed by the king to receive many benefits, and he was very, very rich. His sons ate nice cake soaked in milk and food eaten and cooked with ghee, and they were compassionate and gave their remnants to a crow. This crow ate every day the wealthy son's remnants and became very energetic and strong. One day it happened that a group of swans who came from Manasa Sarova, that is near Mount Kailash, rested on the bank of the ocean before continuing their flight. And the crow, who had become extremely energetic and had forgotten that he was only grown on the foot of the merchants, very boldly said, "My dear swans, I challenge you for a flying competition. I can fly in 100 creative ways. I can fly a looping, then I can fly by swiftly turning left and right. I can fly very quickly down and then up, and I can also sometimes fly backwards. How can you fly?" The swans laughed and said, "We can fly very swiftly in a straightforward manner. That's good enough. Don't challenge us, crow. You are only a crow." People of this world say that in speed and in range, we can only be compared to Garuda. But the crow, becoming very bold and arrogant, began to fly in hundreds of ways. And when the other crows saw the
creative flying of their brother crow, they banged their wings together and said, "You have practically won the competition. You have practically won the competition, brother." Then the swan said, "Hare Krishna." And they took off and began to fly very swiftly. And the crow, wanting to compete, said, "Oh, oh, 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 oh. Just wait, I'm coming. I'm coming also very swiftly." And it went towards the over the ocean. So after some time, the crow flying over the ocean was becoming discouraged. There was no land in sight. And by this discouragement, the crow lost his energy and soon began to touch the crests of the waves. So the swans looked back and said, "Is this one of your 101 ways to fly?" But by now the crow was in serious difficulty. It fell into the ocean and became all wet and could not fly any longer. So then the king of the swans made one round. I think it took him 1 kilometer. And took up the poor crow, put him on the back, and flew him back to the bank of the ocean and said, "My dear crow, never forget, you are a crow. You only have been given nice cake soaked in milk and food in ghee. Please remember to be a little grateful and a little humble." And saying these wise words, the king of the swans, flew back to Manasarova, the lake where the heavenly beings swim. I'm telling this story for your kind introspection and consideration. Krishna is grateful because he is mindful of the services rendered by others. In Krishna consciousness, we should bathe regularly in this embellishing waters of gratefulness. That will make our character good. It will protect us against pride, this dangerous enemy on the spiritual path. To take a bath in gratefulness every morning will keep you humble and it will keep you connected. "Oh my Lord, you have brought me to Vrindavan. Oh Giriraj, you have taken me on your lap. Oh, I am allowed to eat prasadam. Oh, I can hear some Lila Katha about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Be grateful. At that moment, your heart will melt and will become suitable for proper bhakti. Hare Krishna. Let us summarize. Krishna is kritagya, or grateful. It means he is mindful of the services rendered by his devotees. And there are two examples. One is the chanting of the devotees, like Draupadi, who chanted, "Hey Govinda!" And the other example is Jambavan, who had served the Lord in a previous existence, a previous yuga. I mean, Jambavan was still the same, but millions of lives back, and Krishna remembered this. Hare Krishna. So now we come to the last quality for today. May I know, do we end at 5 o'clock or 5:30? We have still some time. Oh yeah, this is a good thing. Do you have any questions regarding these qualities? It's nice to hear about Krishna, no? It's at least nice to speak about Krishna like this. Prabhuji, please identify your name. Kirtiraj? Tirtaraj. Oh, you have come. Tirtaraj. You have come to the right spot. Yes, Tirtaraj Prabhu. Tirtaraj Prabhu, I will repeat this for the tape listening posterity. Asked, how do you see this quality of being grateful in relationship to devotees who have rendered services in the past but have fallen away from that service, from devotional service? The way I have understood this is that Srila Prabhupada remains eternally indebted to these devotees who have rendered service to his mission. And apparently, Srila Prabhupada, I know he always remembered the services of devotees even when they had fallen away. There's a nice letter which he wrote to Hayagriva. I remember how you whistled the trumpet, Prabhupada said, how you whistled the trumpet in the beginning of the movement. There's also a very esoteric statement about Srila Prabhupada, which those of you who like mystical things will appreciate. Once Prabhupada gave his dhoti to a devotee who was always coming and doing nice service but who never wanted to surrender and follow principles. And Prabhupada then, as a gesture to bring him into the movement and bring him to surrender, gave him this dhoti as a sign, now this is your new identity, Hare Krishna service rendering a devotee who renders practical service. This devotee shrinked away, knowing that this gesture meant full surrender. And Prabhupada said, since the last 700 births, I'm trying to make you a devotee. Very grateful. I remember another incident, because we are at a very transcendental place, and these will be now a little Prabhupada stories a little bit out of the mainstream. In Los Angeles, Prabhupada was regularly making his morning walk, and over a series of days there was always a cat who came from somewhere behind the bushes and went before Prabhupada's feet and played around the feet. Meow, meow. Prabhupada would always, at the end of his little communication with the cat, take his foot, zip, and the cat would happily hang like this in the U position, which cats take in this situation. And Prabhupada would just crane the cat to the side. And then one day, after the devotees tried many things to be aware that this moochie cat would not disturb Prabhupada and try to get him, but he had his way to find his way to Prabhupada's lotus feet. And then then one day the cat was lying lifeless on the sideboard. A car had driven across the cat and killed the cat. So the devotees wondered at that time if this cat was a special cat. And they asked Prabhupada about it, and Prabhupada was shy to answer. But one devotee who told me this, I believe his name was Dira something, Dira Govinda, Dira. He could sing very nicely with Riksharaj, he said. Anyways, he told me that he went into Prabhupada's room and asked him, Prabhupada, the human mind is curious by nature, what's some special story about this cat? And Prabhupada said, very shyly, he was a fallen disciple who came to get the mercy of my lotus feet. So I know from many stories, I've told you now two esoteric stories, but from other stories, the Prabhupada would always receive his old servants in a very grateful way for services rendered. I'm looking to our Malati. This sounds like Prabhupada? Yes. Prabhupada would be very, very grateful. And I really think we should extend this gratefulness as well. I met Harikesh on the Ratha Yatra in New York. And it was a difficult moment in my life because we had done a lot of service. We had gone through heaven and hell together in service. I mean, we had run away from police people. We had exchanged our wigs. This fits better to you, you know, to go into action, preaching action. And I saw him and he had said so many things which were not appropriate with the standards of Krishna consciousness and so on. It is a difficult thing. And my feeling is always, we should be grateful you did such nice service and so on. But we should also know that now there may be some covering. Sometimes in some older devotees there are. And I have another example, Hansadura. We were also quite close and near and close to each other. And so we may not identify with the covering of the, which has momentarily covered the devotees, but we should be grateful for the services rendered. This is Prabhupada's mood, I believe. It's sometimes difficult to be grateful, oh, you did so much, Prabhupada, and then have the realistic picture. Yeah. Oh, and Prabhuji, now you act in ways which is different. That how to bring this over respectfully and consistently, it depends on your very fine feelings and subtle ways of expression. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Raj Bihari Prabhu. Yes, it is said that the living entity can develop 50 qualities of the 64 qualities. I will read to you the 51st quality, changeless. Sada Svarupa Samprapta, or all cognizant. You can never develop this, Braj Bihari. Also not ever fresh. I'm sorry, I don't... No, please don't... Please laugh in a gentle way, not in a condescending way. Nitya Nutana. And Sachit Ananda Vigraha is another quality of Lord Krishna. But we can develop things like respectful, gentle, liberal, shy, happy. There's one quality very attractive to all women that we can never and should never. There are qualities or beautiful bodily features. It is not, that's the first quality. But there are many qualities which, for instance, Satyavakya, truthful, and Priyamvada, pleasing talker, which the devotee, in fact, should develop. And there is... Sanatan Goswami describes this instruction to develop qualities. He says, Lord Krishna is Gunatma, the soul of all superior qualities, because he gives them life. Descending to the material world and re-establishing religious principles, he exhibits all godly qualities and inspires them in others. Lord Krishna, in other words, wishes to inspire by his exhibition of qualities, certain qualities in the conditioned living entities. If a living entity develops the transcendental qualities found in the Lord, he receives immeasurable benefit and eventually goes with the Lord back to his own abode. So it is desired. There are 50 qualities which the living entity can develop in minute quantity, never in, and there may be some qualities which a devotee does not aspire to develop, and that is easy to see. The Bhagavatam describes that these qualities come more or less searching for a devotee who is engaged in devotional service. Yasyasti Bhakti Bhagavati Akinchana Sa please, yes, here are Saver. Yes. Mahat Guna Mano Ratinatmani. Yes, I'm so excited that I don't my Sanskrit, remember, it's not good in this verse and in others also not at the moment. Yes, so they will come by devotional, I feel our Braj Bihari has brought us to consider a very important point. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes a list of qualities which he considered belong to the godly nature, and it is desired to develop them, to be developed. Yes, Aniruddha Prabhu. Aniruddha Prabhu asks the question: how can we transform some of these undesirable qualities and put them in the service, and in this may make them desirable? This question is answered in the Prema Bhakti Chandrika by Narottam Das Thakur, who talks about how to engage lust. He talks about how to engage greed. And he also talks about how to engage illusion and anger. Lust should be engaged by, you know, I must hear about the topics of Lord Krishna. When I heard this, I decided on the spot to become a nectar hunter. And those who know me know that I'm shameless when it comes to nectar hunting. When I'm sitting with Burijan and he has something new, he already said, I'm giving it to you, I'm giving it to you. I've not even said anything. I decided to just become a nectar hunter and just use that drive so that it is not harmful for others and for me. Greed, very important. We have more. We want when we greed. Then we can also have a greed for Krishna consciousness. It's a sloba. By this, I must have more. I have nothing. And illusion, if you want to be an illusion, if you have to be an illusion, be in the illusion that you cannot get Krishna. Because by being in this illusion, you will come into this ocean of separation. Oh no, I'm here in Govardhan. I'm hearing, I'm sitting in the earth of in the lap of Giriraj, but my mind is somewhere. And this is too much. And if you develop this feeling, oh, I will never, how will an income people like me ever reach Krishna? This lamentation is desirable. And anger could be directed towards those who disturb the spreading of Krishna consciousness or the devotees. It may be safe to hate the sin and not the sinners if you are not. This may be a safe way to deal with this. This brings us to a very touchy subject in spiritual life. How do we engage our different proclivities in Krishna service? I feel it is very important, but it is also very important to do this in a very responsible way, to maybe consult with good Vaishnava friends, because otherwise, if you, in the name of engaging your emotionality and so on, if you might come on a, in an area which is dangerous for your spiritual life. I know that Prabhupada very gently encouraged this putting, turning the emotions to Krishna, but I know that he was also extremely careful about this area. There was one god sister of mine whom we used to know, Lilavati, from Sweden, who would always cry before the deities. Now, normally the standard is we should not cry before the deities. When we feel like crying, it is not that the deities should see this. But this Mataji was crying in Mataji emotional way. She was young. I suspect it was not yet Prema Bhakti, because she was at the beginning of her spiritual life. Prabhupada said, it's good to cry for Krishna. Because in this way, already some of our emotions go to Krishna. And then they get purified. And when they are purified, then the real spiritual emotions will shine forth. It's an area which I want to only touch here, because it is an area which is where often misunderstandings could arise. It's an area where you have to look very philosophically and very carefully in how you can turn what you have to Krishna and not get on Krishna's nerves. Because we are devotees, we do not want to disturb our Lord. I'm saying it in such contemporary language to make the point very clear. Yeah. I believe very much in taking the energy of an emotion, which is after all the underlying principle of the emotion, and put it to Krishna. The way I learned this was in 1977, when Srila Prabhupada saw a group of devotees from Germany in the Bhaktivedanta Mena. And we had done very exuberant kirtans. And I must say, these kirtans were not on the... I wouldn't do the same kirtans again. Not because I lack the energy and the boldness, but I think it was a little... The bad qualities of the Germans were in the kirtan visible. I heard in Australia, in Christchurch, you had kirtans where you would take people and throw them against the walls, which was also not an aesthetic experience of kirtan. So it was something like this. Sorry? Yeah, broke that. This is not good. This is not like a rock and roll festival. Yes. So, Prabhupada commented at that time, whatever the German devotees do, it's very energetic. So I think this energy, if you have some energy, why put it in useless material emotions which don't satisfy anyone? Just apply it to the process of Krishna consciousness. just be energetic in your chanting, in your whatever you do. Do it like a lion if you have to do it like this way, and in this way use the energy and engage it in Krishna service. This is the best way for purification. The way to transform is really to somehow come in contact with the greatest transformer, Lord Krishna. Okay, so we will just have one more quality and then we will prepare for the evening program, the Leela Kirtan. I hope it's not getting too cold for you. Here comes a quality which I felt extremely attracted as I was preparing the list of qualities. It's called Danta. Danta means forbearing. And Rupa Goswami says, one who endures intense pain for a useful purpose is called tolerant. Tolerant is forbearing also. Huh? Srila Prabhupada explains this now. A person who tolerates all kinds of troubles, even though such troubles appear to be unbearable, is called forbearing. Rupa Goswami illustrates how Krishna endures intense pain for a useful purpose by a verse of his own composition. Even though Lord Hari had a tender body, Hari took no notice of pain in the house of his guru, since he had sincere devotion for his guru. It is very difficult to understand the nature of superior people. One's mind is amazed just to think of it. I believe you remember how Krishna was instructed to go to get the necessary wood for the yajnik fire of Sandipani Muni, and how he was surprised when night fell in by a rainstorm. He and Sudama, who helped to pick the firewood for the yajnik fire, had to escape the water deluge and finally found some type of provisional shelter under a tree on a spot in the forest which soon became an island. There was so much water that it became an island. So, nevertheless, although it was raining so heavily and it was so difficult, Lord Krishna carried the firewood on his head and did not put it down on the ground so that it did not become wet. Thank you very much for your very nice act of service to the spiritual master. We are just discussing this point and you have really become awakened to a good activity. So, it is just amazing how the Lord could have just requested the thunderstorm to abate and go somewhere else over the ocean, for instance, where it would not harm him. Or Lord Krishna could have just ordered the wood, go to the court of Sandipani Muni's house and built a pile. But he was so painstakingly carrying this heavy load in the midst of this wind that it is just amazing. Uh, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compared forbearance to the nature of a tree. A tree is forbearant in two ways. It does not complain if it is not watered, or even if it is cut down. And despite the neglect by others, the tree kindly continues to deliver fruits. So forbearance or tolerance has these two aspects according to Mahaprabhu. To not protest when bad things are done to you, and to continue to remain a servant. This brings us very quickly to a subject matter which is extremely important to note. Because Braj Bihari Prabhu has led us into a very deep consideration of development of qualities. Forbearance is the one quality which will save your life in ISKCON. I don't mean to deride ISKCON. I'm speaking about any association of human beings with human weaknesses. If you're not tolerant, you will not make it in your marriage, you won't make it in the Sankirtan van, you won't make it in a temple, and you certainly will not make it in the secular society. The standard of forbearance is discussed by Rupa Goswami in the famous Tatenu Kampam verse. Any trouble that we encounter in our lives is actually only a token, this is what the verse says, of what we deserve according to our karma. I have seen this when I meet my dear friend, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, when he is suffering physical discomfort, and I asked him, "How are you?" He always looks at me with his wonderful mild eyes, and he said, "Much better, Maharaj, than I deserve." This is how a devotee goes through his life. Any trouble that we encounter in our lives is actually only a token of what we deserve according to our karma. A devotee not only endures life's reverses, but offers heartfelt obeisances to Krishna, confident that Krishna will eventually take him back home, back to Godhead. Parikshit Maharaj became cursed by Sringi, he offered an example of forbearance and tolerance. He just accepted the curse. And this was such an example that Shamika Rishi, who, you know, who was, that is the sadhu who was garlanded by Parikshit Maharaj with this dead snake body, he said, "The devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even though they are defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves." Let us go through the list of experiences. Have you sometimes been defamed? Have you sometimes been cheated? Have you sometimes been cursed or disturbed or neglected? Killed? Up till now, not. Devotees are not inclined to avenge themselves. They are tolerant, as a tree is tolerant. We can take guidance from Krishna's forbearance. He showed the examples of a disciple for us. I will now end this. Oh, there are even more. Would you like to hear more about this? Would you like to hear it in the German style or in the cultured style? Cultured, huh? Good. I'm so much into this subject because my life is not easy. And it's something one has to learn. Let us speak here cultured at this feet of Giriraj. My dear devotees, you did not come into this world to enjoy. Yamunacharya says, there's not one sinful activity which I have not committed thousands upon thousands of time. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says in the voice of Yamunacharya, in his comments to the Stotaratna, O Lord, I am a most offensive person and have all the characteristics of a sinner. I am guilty of thousands and thousands of crimes, so I deserve to be punished. I have fallen into this dreadful ocean of material existence and see no escape. I am looking for some refuge. Yes. While drowning, I cried out in distress, Help! Someone rescue me, please! Then you came, and I understood that your lotus feet are the shore of this ocean. Then the seed of hope arose in my heart. All the Vaishnavas pray like this. I'm suffering because of the results of my sinful activities are simply maturing now. I can't escape this suffering. Rupa Goswami says, My dear Lord, I'm drowning in a far distant corner of the ocean of birth and death. Far distant means no one is there to help. When you drown really in the distant ocean. So, only you. So the Lord some will consider the table of sins which the devotees has done. Then he will look at the just reactions. And then he will say, All right, this my devotee has called for me. But my devotee needs some training still. So I will give him whatever reactions are here yet to come. And I will give them in such a way that they are token reactions. When someone gives you a token, that means it's a timely present, it fits to the time, and it has some deep meaning. For instance, if someone would give you a present now, who is here? Steffi. He would most probably have to choose a warm chatter because you are freezing a little. It is something which makes sense, the presents, and which has to be given according to the time and the circumstances if you want to give a good present. So token reaction means that Krishna gives something which suits the moment of your devotional life. He gives this so that you can learn. Let us now not make a mistake and just say, Oh, this happened to me. This is because of this bad person or that group of bad people and so on. It came. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has spoken about this. And he has said that some renunciants show lack of tolerance when presented with the remnants of their previous sins. He, in other words, said, we are all renunciants in some ways. We have renounced material life. But are we tolerant? Are we forbearing? Let me read to you the whole section for your kind introspection. Often those who give up the materialistic path and devote themselves to renunciation are attacked by impious persons. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati smiles and says, this is how it appears that someone attacks us. He says, this analysis, however, is superficial. He makes a statement and then he revokes it. Since the punishment is actually the cumulative result of one's past karma. Some renunciants show lack of tolerance when presented with the remnants of their previous sins, and thus are forced to enter again onto the path of impious life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore instructs that one should become as tolerant as a tree. If a neophyte on the path of devotional service to the Lord's pure devotees is attacked by impious persons, he must accept it as a consequence of his previous fruitive activities. One should be intelligent and avoid future unhappiness by rejecting the ethic of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If one refuses to enter into enmity with envious men, they will automatically leave him alone. When someone attacks you, you just put your switch on ignoring this, and then it will stop after some time. It's a law of nature. I know that this is a very important purport, and some of you have listened with personal interest. You can find this purport in full in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 23rd chapter, text number 5. 11:23:5. Krishna went into the Brahmachari ashram of Sandipani Muni and to show the standard of forbearance. He showed how to be forbearant or tolerant in spiritual life. You take the instructions of the spiritual master. In his case, it was pick firewood. And no matter what comes, what obstacles come on your path, you just follow those instructions. And by this, you will endear yourself to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and swiftly find the path which will lead you back home, back to Godhead. It is a very important quality which Lord Krishna showed us. And please remember, Krishna could have easily dealt with the situation in thousands of ways. And there are part of his leelas where he deals with the obstacles in very interesting ways. He climbs up a mountain and which is set on fire and jumps down 84 miles. 84 miles. Do you know how long it takes to reach the ground? 84 miles. He's still flying at this moment. Then he lands and carries on walking. No hurt of his ankles or anything from the height altitude jumping. No problem for him. Krishna can take care of obstacles in various ways, but here he chose to give an example in the Brahmachari ashram or as a spiritualist working under his spiritual master of forbearance. Hare Krishna, I have a good news for you. We will end this lecture 5 minutes before the appointed time. Because now we know all that it gets a little cold and how cold it gets. Please be so kind to observe this. Braj Bihari Prabhu has very compassionately said to us that this is a weather to become easily sick because you are heated from the day's sun and then it becomes so cold. And there is no heater here, no radiator available. So please take enough chadas and pullovers when you come next time. Thank you very much also for giving me the chance to address you with these qualities. I like this very much, to speak about these qualities, and you are so kind to give this opportunity. Hare Krishna. Can you please say your nice Giriraj? Jai! Jai! Hari Hari Bo! Thank you! Yes!